Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Bless you, man. Jim, God answers prayer. You never know what it meant when you thought to pray for me. Something would answer to my prayer. You see, this morning has been one of the worst mornings I've ever had. My printer didn't want to work. I couldn't get my sermon out of the computer. And the reason why I have two computers here today, and I hate using computers, because I love the freedom and the liberty to be able to move around at the Spirit moves. But I'm hoping and praying that the anointing of the Lord will rush to me and give me the words for the message this morning. Yes, Lord. Can you give me the KFC? No one can love me like Jesus can. No one. I want you to turn with me to John, the 20th chapter, starting with verse 19. John 20 and 19. When you get there, say amen. It reads this way. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and said unto them, peace. Somebody say peace.
Peace.
Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know, if you read about this, they probably thought when they saw Jesus it was a ghost. But when they were able to touch his side,
come on now,
and touch his hands, they knew it was real. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, when we have seen the Lord, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I would not believe. After 8 days, again, the disciples were with them. And Thomas, this time Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus. The door had been shut. And stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side. Thank you, man. And be not faithless." Come on, say faithless.
Faithless.
Be not faithless. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen." Blessed are they that have not seen. Blessed are they that have not seen. And yet have believed.
Oh,
and many other signs during the Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I know something good is about to happen. For I feel the enemy just trying his best to detour this message and this morning service. And I ask now, Lord Jesus, as my personal Savior, that your spirit and your anointing will come upon me to give the word for this message. And Lord, for such a time as this, your people will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. If I had a topic to put on this sermon this morning, it would be "Wanted Someone to Believe." When I lived in Harlan, Kentucky, we had a post office that is nothing like what we have today. In fact, it was just a small house with just the front of it being used as a post for mail. And I can remember taking that path in the country to go to that little post office and getting the mail. And I can remember sometimes they'd be in line because everybody had to go to the post office first thing on Saturday morning. And I stood there in line, I looked around and I saw on one wall all kinds of wanted posters. I mean, there were posters all over that wall. Some of them wanted by the FBI, most wanted, the 10 most wanted list. Some of them kind of resemble some of you all here this morning. And as I looked at those wanted posters, I got to thinking, well, you know, even Jesus was considered a criminal.
Yes.
He was wanted by the religious rulers. They wanted to put him to death. And I got to doing the research about some of the most popular, most wanted posters. Who can forget about Billy the Kid? Just a young little whippersnapper. And then this time it aged $500 with a lot of money. Or who can forget about Jesse James? $500 for him too. Dead or alive. What about Butch Cassidy? And the Sundance Kid. They made a movie about him, didn't they? I've never seen it. How about the popular Bonnie and Clyde? Oh, they made a movie about that one too. Of course, through others like the legendary John Dillinger and one of my favorite, Al Capone. To this day, I think Stan, my brother, has Al Capone nose. Yeah, that's my brother. But there's someone else that I want you to understand that's wanted. Someone to believe. Someone like you and me. I recall in the time of Christ, and I realize that this is for me it's still Easter holiday. We just came out to celebrate Easter Sunday last Sunday, and I think it's wonderful if we can keep that notion all year round. Unfortunately though, Hallmark doesn't have Easter colors all year round. But I'm reminded in the time that Jesus lived, he provided many miracles. And on this day, earlier in the chapter of John, the 20th chapter, I'm reminded about how that Mary, and some say five women total, went to the grave the first day of the week. When Jesus was crucified, they didn't have time to prep his body because the next day they had to get ready for the sacrifice. So all they did was wrap him in linen and put him in a borrowed tomb. So on the third day, Sunday, as we call it, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and some say Joanne and a couple other women, went before sunrise to prep the body of Jesus. I find it intriguing that even when our Lord was dead, they took great care to want to take care of Jesus. If nothing else, out of respect. Nothing would deter them from going to the tomb. Some of the writing, and I know that if you read all four apostles' writing, I think like the details are so different. But three facts remain. One, he was crucified. Yes. They all agreed. Two, he did die. And three, he was resurrected. Amen. To live. Yes. And they were going to the tomb, the question came up. Who's going to roll away the tomb? Who's going to roll away the stone that's covering the mouth of the tomb? But their answer was quickly came to them when they saw that the tomb was already open. Now in John's mind, he says that when Mary saw that the tomb was empty, she ran back and told Peter and John. And immediately they ran to the tomb to look and see. The Bible teaches how that when Peter got to the tomb, he walked on in and saw the linen cloth laying on the bed where Christ had been, looked around, and then he left. And so like Mary did John. But Mary, she stayed around. She stayed and she was weeping. And at one point she looked in again. But this time she saw two men, an angel at the top and an angel at the foot. And the angel told Mary, "Why are you weeping?" Then as Mary turned back, there was someone behind her. She thought it was the gardener. And it wasn't until she heard her name that she realized it was Jesus. Amen. I wasn't there when they crucified him. I wasn't there. You see, there were so many laws that were broken in the Jewish tradition. One of them was that if you were accused, you were allowed to have somebody defend you, and you were allowed to bring in witnesses for your defense. Pretty much the same way we do in our day. But that was not given to Christ. There were over 12 to 17 Jewish laws that were broken. Not only Jewish law, but Roman law. The fact that he was tried in a priest's house never should have happened. If he was charged with blasphemy, that was the death of the cross, was not the punishment for blasphemy. One of the things that they did to Christ was they took a whip similar to this. It's called a whip, it's called a cat of nine tails. On nine of each strand, it's impregnated with glass, metal, or stone. Just one slash of this whip would cut wide open the back of anyone. But the Roman soldiers, they were experts at torture and at beating people to within inches of their lives. They knew just when to stop before the individual that was being tortured or whipped with this whip. They knew just when to stop. One lash of the whip would not only cut the back of an individual, but you would see the muscles, the tendon, even all the way down to the bones. And it wasn't just the back, but it would wrap around to the front, even to the stomach and the abdomen. 39 times they whipped our Savior. And then they thumped. Then they took a crown of thorns, and they didn't just lay it on his head, but they slammed it on top of his head. These thorns were like briars, about 6 inches long. No doubt they penetrated the skin and even into the skull. They mocked him. They pulled his beard, did everything to torture this man who was King of Kings. I find it intriguing that when you were crucified, normally it would take a few days before you would die. But in Christ's case, not only was he beaten within inches of his life, but he was made to carry a cross, weighed over 100 pounds, on a back that was just split wide open. Have you ever had a sunburn? Kind of sting, didn't it? You didn't want to be touched. You couldn't even sleep. You couldn't lay. You didn't want to be bothered. But here Jesus was, carried on his back that was bleeding, and cut a cross. And it wasn't that smooth lumber you see at Home Depot or Lowe's. The cross no doubt has splinters. I can imagine that he bore his cross, perhaps at the path he was going down, it was lined with people. Maybe there were some of the individuals that he had performed miracles for. Perhaps it was the Syrophoenician woman that had an issue of blood. Perhaps she was on the sideline watching that Christ bore the cross. Perhaps she was one of them that said to mind, I still believe. I have evidence that he performed a miracle. And what about Jairus? His daughter, 12 years old, was lying in their home, dying. He was a religious man, had authority, and he came to Jesus, come and heal my daughter. I believe in you. After Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, he went with Jairus. And when he got there, they said she had already died. Jesus said, she's not dead. She's just sleeping.
Amen.
And he went in. Took the so-called dead person by the hand. And said, Damsel, rise up. And immediately she rose up. Can you imagine what Jairus and his wife and his daughter? No doubt they believe. Even the man with leprosy came to Jesus. Jesus, will you heal me? All he did was touch him, and immediately he was healed. Perhaps he was on the sideline that Jesus was going to that appointed place, Golgotha. But yet in his mind, he was a witness. He still believed. There were many others, blind people, that were healed. You couldn't even have a funeral in the time of Christ. And the city of Nain, Jesus was going into the city, and as he was coming to the gate, there was a procession, a burial procession, with a woman that was a widow, and her only son lay being carried to the graveyard. All Jesus did was touch the coffin, the bride.
Yes.
And immediately he arrived, he rose up, sat up, and Jesus took the young man and gave him to his mother. Perhaps the widow and her son were along the streets watching that Jesus was carrying the cross. Because they believe. From the 6th hour to the 12th hour, that would be from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock, there was darkness over the land. And I'm sure that even the soldiers were kind of concerned. This is something that doesn't happen every day. And then when Jesus said, it is finished. I can imagine that there was thunder and lightning and the wind began to blow. And maybe that's why they were in such a hurry. Because the two thieves that were crucified was Christ. They went ahead and broke their legs, making death even more faster. But when they came to Christ, they saw that he was already dead. And when they told the centurion, he's dead, the centurion said, make sure. So they took a spear and they jabbed it through his side. Blood and water came out. Some people would say, that's impossible. How can you have water? Well, it is possible. You see, it's called CVS fluid. Cerebral vascular fluid. And what it is, it lined the cavity that lined the internal organs, like the lungs and the heart. So when they pierced the side of Jesus, they must have went all the way to the very heart. And that's when the blood and the water came out. Can you imagine the soldier, when he jabbed the spear into his side, blood, suddenly blood splashed onto him. Can you imagine what that felt like? To have the Son of God and his precious blood fall on you. I can't believe that he wouldn't change. But nothing wonderful happened at that moment. The Word teaches us that Heavenly Father went to the temple and he tore the veil in two that separated the holy place from the most holy. From top to bottom. You see, for over 4,000 years, man was not allowed to go into the presence of the Father. They had to go to the high priest. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of his blood, the veil was torn down. And asked us, the door was open to come into the very presence of our Heavenly Father. I want you to understand this. The only way we can go to the Father is through the Son, Jesus. That's the only way. Some people would say you still have to go kiss the sleeve of the priest. You still have to do the incarnations of Hail Mary, full of grace, several times. But I'm so glad to know that when I need Jesus, I don't have to wait or make an appointment.
Amen.
That I can go to him anytime, night or day. That's all because we have access to the Father.
Yes.
I want to share with you the story of the prodigal son. It's a classic. I wonder if I can get Hope. Or no. Hunter. Got it? Bible teaches about how that, I think it's in Luke chapter, there was some controversy by the religious rulers. They felt that Jesus should not be associated with the sinners. They wonder, why are you sitting here dining with them? And then Jesus gave three parables, one about the lost coin, one about the lost sheep, and one about the prodigal. It's interesting about the prodigal son, because the word prodigal is not even found throughout the rest of the Word of God. In Jewish times, the eldest son will receive a double portion of everything that his father owns. The other sibling will receive only one portion. If there were two siblings, the oldest one would get 2/3, and the youngest one only 1/3. The youngest son went to the father and said, "Give me all that is due me. I want it now." This was an insult. It's like saying, "I can't wait till you die. I want what's mine now." The father could have easily scolded his son and sent him away, but this is the kind of love that he had. He said, "Okay." He gave 1/3 of all that he would do. Bible teaches that he didn't stay in the Holy Land, but he took off for a foreign land where the pagans and the Gentiles were. And he spent all that he had. Bible teaches that there was a famine in the land. And he became in want.
Yes.
Even to the point where he became a servant to the pagans, the bee, the swines. Pigs were unclean. It was unlawful to even touch one. And yet here he was, not only feeding them, but he was envious for the food that they were eating. I remember as a young boy going out to slop the hog. I hated the smell. Anything but, let me do something but anything but this. But anyway, he was in a pig pen slopping the hogs. Bible said he came to himself and realized, in my father's house, the servants have more than enough to spare.
Hallelujah.
So he made up his mind, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to get up, I'm going back to my father, I'm going to tell him, "I have sinned against heaven and you." That was the first thing. Then he was going to tell him, "I'm not worthy to be your son." And the third thing was, "Can I be a servant?" I love this story. While he was coming,
Hallelujah.
Father, put weight on the fortune. I don't know how long it was gone. Could have been just a few weeks or a month or even years. But all that time they were gone, the Father was still looking, still seeking for the prodigal. And when he saw him far off, no doubt he looked different. Maybe he had a beard, maybe he wore clothes that were not becoming. But he knew his son.
Yes.
You don't look like the son I had, but I still see and know you.
Yes.
When his son got close, the father ran out to his son and hugged him. The son was able to say two of the three things he wanted to say. He was able to say, Father, I sinned against you. And he was able to say, I'm not worthy to be your son. But the father stopped him right there. Before he could say, let me just be a servant, the father stopped. Didn't say a word to the son, but he turned to his servant and said, get him home! A bright, shiny robe.
Put it around.
Now he was still hugging his son. This is my son. He's come home. And he tells his son, get the robe and put it around him. I believe the robe represents something here. It represents divine protection.
Yes.
My son is come home, and I'm going to drape him with protection for me. You can't have him. He's mine.
Yes.
Then he turned to the servant and said, get him me! I know this is one of those candy rings, but that's all right. It will serve his purpose. Put the ring on. You can't eat that right now. The ring signifies the authority of the Father.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Though you've been gone and you've left, you come home, and now all the benefits are yours again. You're no longer the prodigal, but you're my son.
Yeah.
And then he did something else. Told his servant, go put shoes on.
You don't have to put them on.
See, the shoes represent something. If you walked around barefooted, you were considered a slave. But the prodigal in the eyes of his son wasn't about a slave.
Come on now.
He was his son. Come home, and he received the blessing of being called his son.
Hallelujah.
You can be seated. Thank you. Would you stand with me right now? When Mary looked into the tomb, the empty tomb, no doubt it was dark. And I wonder sometimes if there are many in the church. Are you what God birthed from the beginning? Or perhaps you are something different because of what has happened in your life? Are you that which God wanted you to be? Or perhaps because of a series of unfortunate, tragic happenings, you're something else. Wanted someone to believe. The reward is far beyond expectations. Wanted dead or alive, there have been many that have fallen, many that have gone on, but they kept the faith. They still believe. Every eye closed and head bowed. If you're here this morning and you're not everything that God wants you to be, would you just lift up your hand? Put it right back down. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. If you're here this morning, God bless that hand. And you're not what God birthed you for, raise your hand. God bless that hand. God has a plan. He's looking for believers. And unlike Thomas, who was able to feel for himself the nails gone, he's looking for people that still believe though they've not seen. But one day, we will see. And I don't believe it that far off. I know the enemy has to be so concerned because he realizes his time is drawing short. Whether it's a year, 20 years, whatever. Even if he had 50 years, that's all the time he's got, and then it's over. You can look at me now. Thanks, this is not a time to question your faith, but the time to stand fast in the liberty of his word and of his grace. The signs are going to follow them that believe. If you don't believe, you're not going to see the signs. But if you believe without doubt, you're going to see a move of God in these last times like you've never seen. Don't limit the Lord. Don't put limitations on him. But if you believe, even as small at the mustard seed, without doubt, he said, I will root mountains.
Hallelujah.
And I will bring the prodigal home.
Amen.
I'll put on them, the ones that are lost, a new road with my divine protection. I'll put on them a ring to show their power and authority. And I put on their feet shoes, never more to be called a slave or even a servant, but to be my sons and daughters. That's the kind of father we serve. That's the kind of father I'm looking for. If you're here this morning and you want to be more than all that you can be, I'm like the military now, forget it in a battle. Will you find a place to pray and ask the Lord to remove all doubts and let him to prove his plan, which is a glorious plan for you.